This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 16, 2017. The Fifth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In several different contexts, as the word is presented, I bring up frequently the fact that the world suffers, we suffer, but our sufferings are dealt with in a much different way than those of the worldling. When we talk about the sufferings of this world, again, we do not, as a matter of fact, you get closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at the apostles, suffering can actually increase as you get closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. These sufferings are the same for us and for the heathen. It is our reaction to those. It is what we do with them that make us markedly different. The Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, says, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glories that are going to be revealed to us. This is nothing less than spiritual mental preparation. Back in my old life, when I was a police officer, when new police officers were hired, and particularly those police officers who wanted to take it to the next level and be on the SWAT team, you threw scenarios at them. You always gave them the worst case scenario. This horrible thing could happen. And if they worked through the most horrible thing that could actually happen, then they were prepared for the most horrible things, but generally thinking they're not as horrible as you presented them. And they persevered even better than they would if the most horrible thing presented itself. We need to do the same thing spiritually. We need to mentally prepare ourselves for the horrible things that not may, but are going to happen in this life. They are going to happen. And when you're real young, things like that seem really, you know, their potentials, their what happened to other people. As you get older, you start to see more and more often the sufferings of this world, so to speak. And please do not, when we talk about sufferings, when something hurts physically or when I lose someone. No. Fill in your blanks. I'm not going to run through the list. But sufferings can be anything from those things to anxieties that you have spiritually, your relationship with God, your lack of understanding of who God is, what He's doing in your life, the anxieties of the problems with family members who are either not acting like they are people of faith or who are belligerent to the people of faith. All these things are suffering. If you prepare yourself for them, then you will deal with them properly. But that is truly up to you. When St. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glories that await us, it's not like when you're baptized, all of a sudden this just magically comes to you. It's not that way. You have to do your part. You have to prepare yourself to confront these things. The first thing we have to do is actually understand truly that they are going to come. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very, very explicit about the fact that, as I said before, You know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Our Lord Jesus says very succinctly, in this world, you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Our Lord makes it plain to us that we are going to suffer in this place. This whole place is a place of suffering. Don't get selfish about your problems. The whole creation is groaning, as we read in that second reading today. Creation itself, not just us, not just our spirit, the whole entire face of the planet, because of Adam and Eve's sin, is in bondage to decay. I mean, explicitly said that in the second reading. The Holy Spirit tells us, creation is in bondage to decay. The whole that's why, little footnote, that's why we should not get all bent out of shape of trying to fix this place. How arrogant it is to think that we are individually or even collectively going to take something out of the bondage to decay that our Lord has put in to the bondage of decay. It is a result of the fall. It's part of the punishment. The serpent, Adam and Eve, they all offend God. And this tells you, this is an inkling of how pervasive and how deep sin runs. Well, those three are the ones that sinned, then they should be punished. They were. The serpent, Eve, and Adam. And God is giving it to Adam, and he says, Adam, because you listened to your wife, as opposed to listening to me, cursed is the ground because of you. That, think about that for a second. That is how profound Adam's sin was. Was Adam the first one that took the... No, he wasn't. He was not the first one. But he listened to his wife. As opposed to listening to God, he eats of the fruit, and God's... This is how horrible that is, Adam. Not only are you punished personally, the ground itself, creation, is cursed because of what you did. Not you and Eve, you. Because Adam was the authority. And he listened to his wife. He allowed her to usurp their authority. And she gave in to Satan, and it was his fault. And because it was his fault, even the very ground is cursed because of him, because of sin. That should give us an understanding of when we violate the revealed will of God, how deep things can run. It is not only creation. That's just, again, one of the consequences. But it is also us who are now having to deal with suffering, the tribulations of this world. And we are going to suffer those tribulations until, just like Adam, until you return to the ground. Those are God's words. We are not going to have any respite in this world that is bound to decay. We are going to deal with these things until we die. So guess what? We better get ready for dealing with these things. This is where we differentiate ourselves and our reactions to sufferings with that of the pagan. When the pagan is suffering, he just groans. He just groans because he's in pain. The scriptures teach us that we groan impatiently. What's the difference? There is a tremendous difference in just groaning because you're in pain and groaning impatiently. A prime example is what St. Paul says in that writing to the Romans. He uses the analogy of a woman in travail. He says that we groan impatiently as if we are in travail, as if we are in labor pains in the later versions. If you've ever been to the hospital and watched a person who was dying, they groan. they are in horrible pain. It is a very sad thing to behold, because their groanings are going to end in their death. But if you go into a labor room, the women who are about to give birth are in as much, if not more, pain physically than the person who is dying, and they groan also, but there's actually an aura in the room of anticipation. It's you try to nurture that person and comfort that woman as she gives birth, but we know that something good is going to come of this. So the pain and the woman that's enduring it herself, you know, if it was just about a matter of suffering, most would be one-child families, okay? It's not. A lot of women go on to have several children because there is a positive consequence. Our Lord Jesus Christ gets very explicit about this. He says, a woman when she is in labor has sorrow, but when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. She doesn't remember it anymore because she has the child. Something very positive has come as a result. Her pain isn't just going to end in death. Her pain is actually going to end in life. It's the same scenario, but completely different. One groaning because I hurt, I'm dying. To watch that is heartrending. The other one, I'm lying on bed and I hurt, I'm going to give birth. And everybody, even the one hurting, is anticipating this glorious thing that's going to happen. That is exactly the mindset that we should have when we talk about the sufferings of this world, no matter what they are. Fill in your own blank. Loss, physical suffering, anxieties, whatever they may be, they are fleeting. And there is something positive that is going to come to the fore if you endure. Notice I say if, because you have part of this. This is not something that you just receive magically, as I said, as a result of your baptism. You have to put yourself out to deal with the sufferings of this world properly. Whereas a woman gives birth to a child, we look forward to, as it says, the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul, this waiting for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It doesn't matter how bad it gets in this world. And I mean that literally. No matter how bad it gets. If the focus is on what's going to happen after for us, then that is when and why we react to sufferings in an apples and oranges proposition to the heathen. When our Lord gives his apostles the prayer to teach them how to pray, they ask him how to pray. Why doesn't that prayer start out, Almighty God, who are in heaven, who do all great things and are merciful? It doesn't start like that. Although he is all those things, it starts out with, Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, our Lord knows how we live. He knows our experiences. And if we are aware of God as our Father, it helps us to deal with the things in this world that we do not understand. Suffering. If you look at your own past, when you were a little child, try to think back as early as you possibly can. Kindergarten, first grade, whatever. Your father, he left in the morning and he went to work and he came home at night. You know, most kids know what their father does for a living, but they don't know actually what he does. They have no concept of the hourly wage. They have no concept of you have to be here on time and you got to take a lunch hour, or even if you're salaried, that you got to show up at work and you have certain things that you have to do and you have a boss who is overseeing you. They have no concept of this. They have no concept of how much money you get. They have no concept of downsizing. They don't get any of that. They don't have any concept of paying bills. They just know, Dad goes to work in the morning and he makes money and he comes home at night and I have a roof over my head. As a child, we understand the positives that we get from Dad going to work, but we don't understand the intricacies. The same thing applies to our Father as He works in our lives. We don't get it. We're not supposed to get it. We just have to understand that Father is working for our betterment. He is working for our comfort. He is working to put the proverbial roof over our head and to make us comfortable. We don't understand the intricacies, how He does it, what's all involved. We should just approach Father in an understanding that what He's doing is right. Because when we approach God with that, with the awareness that He's our Father, when these sufferings come up, we can look at them, and this is one of the primary aspects of this preparation, to look at them as that our Father is doing what is right by us. Our Father is not just, particularly if you had brothers and sisters, it wasn't all about you. He put a roof over everyone's head. He had to worry about Mom. He might have to worry about extended family with the money he makes. We have no clue of this as a child. But when we deal with God, it's the same exact thing. When you suffer, you don't know if it's for you. You don't know it's for someone else. You have no clue. You just have to appreciate that your Father is there for you. He loves you and He wouldn't let anything happen that hurts you. That applies to the vast majority of us in this world. How much more our Heavenly Father? So if we appreciate Him as Father, we should be aware that no matter what happens to us, that it's for the better, no matter what it is. May not seem it at the time, but it is for our betterment. This is where it really gets practical for us. How come in this world we can put forth so much effort into the fleeting things of this world? And it starts from early age. When you're in high school, you want to be recognized for being good at this sport, or good at academics, or just popular. You will go out of your way for these fleeting gratifications in this world. And that's not wrong per se, as long as it's prioritized. We get older, get ready to go to college. No, I don't want to go to state college. I want you to dig into your pockets, Mom and Dad, because I want a degree from this place, because I want to do this, and I want to make a lot of money doing this, and I will buckle down and I will study hard. I will put myself out for something that our careers. I want to be able to be a good provider, which is glorious to have that mindset. But as a provider, your career, how long is it? 30, 35, 40 years maybe? 40 years. 40 years. What is that? It's fleeting. And then you're retired and you hope you invested right. Okay? We put all kind of effort into that stuff. We will lose sleep over it. We will put God second because of it. For what? Fleeting. But we will endeavor that hard for things in this world. Sports. Come on, really? You look professional sports particularly. I want to be a professional this, that. This is football. You know, I want to be a professional football player. I want to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl ring. These individuals will put their health in jeopardy. They'll put their health in jeopardy. They will put forth maximum effort. They'll go to this, they do their 10-year, 15-year career, if God will keep their body strong, and they might win a Super Bowl. How many people who want that in life ever attain it? The minuscule amount that even make it into the professional ranks. And then how few of them actually go to the Super Bowl? How few of them actually win it? So what? So that another team can win it the next year? 364 days of, yeah, look at me. But a whole lifetime of endeavor towards something like that. You know, we can all get that one because we all like Super Bowl Sunday. All right? How can we put so much effort into things in this world and not put things... We don't put 10% of the effort into things that are eternal. This is the question you have to ask yourself. When you come in here on Sunday and whenever else you may come in, are these just words? This isn't, well, all that other stuff you talk about, that's real. My job's real. Money's real. My family's real. Church stuff, eh. If you have that mentality, you will not deal with your sufferings any different than a pagan. Not whatsoever. If you have that mentality. These are just not words. These are just not words. This is more real. It's permanent. The other stuff is fleeting. This is more real. And it's more real. And we have these kind of concepts. That you are going to be seated next to God Almighty for all eternity. That you will be a co-heir with Christ. That you will be equal with the angels. That you will spend eternity with the patriarchs and apostles. Is that real? Or is that just church talk for Sunday? If it's just church talk for Sunday, you will deal with your sufferings no different. And we want to. We want what St. Paul says. To be able to consider, no matter how horrible it may be, no matter how horrible it may be, we want to consider those sufferings as nothing compared to what is going to be revealed to us when we reach that place that is a place where eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor can mind conceive of the glories, where there are no more tears. You know, when I talk about dealing with sufferings, I'm not talking you're not going to be sad about it. I'm not talking you're not going to cry about it. But you're going to temper that with the understanding that you're going to go ultimately to a place where there are no more tears if you persevere through these times. Because the sufferings they're tests for us. Because a lot of people and a lot of churches and a lot of parishes are confronted with the sufferings of this world, and all of a sudden they go, this cannot be real. He would not let this happen to me. I'm out of here. And they spend eternity in hell because they did not deal with their sufferings properly. Whereas other people, when they suffer, they cry and they lament and they come in here and they lay on their face, literally sometimes and figuratively before God, and say, I don't understand, but not my will, but your will be done. Those are the folks who do not compare their sufferings with those of the glories that await us. If you have that mentality, if you endeavor as much toward the things of eternity as you do as for things in this world, you cannot be overcome by anything. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Pick the most horrendous scenario that could possibly happen to you. And think that even if that would happen to me, then I won't be overcome, because I consider even the most horrible thing not to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed to me. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.